Cannabis Business Minds, we train and mentor professionals, entrepreneurs, and aspiring entrepreneurs on how to confidently find their place in the legal cannabis and hemp industries. Come on and join us at CannabisBusinessMinds.com.
It's interesting. I think that it's a topic that every business needs to understand. And I mean, plant touching, not plant touching, all of that. And oftentimes there's so many workarounds that people have done, and myself included, and, you know, it bites you in the butt. And, you know, I think that's the big thing. And when I was like, oh God, like I'm getting them on my podcast, like, what is it that I really want to cover? What is it that you really want to cover? I think it's just a deep dive into everything you know about, you know, banking, payment processing in this space, because I think there's a lot of myths that operators or people thinking about getting into business are, you know, have heard. And I kind of want to dispel some of those myths with an expert like yourself.
Okay, sure.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, tell me, I mean, I'm excited to get to know you. So you're based on the East Coast.
Yes, I am in Florida. I'm in Bonita Springs, Florida. That's where Green Check is headquartered. We have 33 people in the company now. We're scattered across 17 states and Canada. We're international. You know, my background is I'm a nerd by training. You know, as you can see, I'm old. You know, I started in the late 70s as a computer programmer, as we were called way back then. And I spent the last 4 decades involved in enterprise technology. I've taken a company public. I've exited two to publicly traded companies. I spent a decade working for VCs and private equity folks fixing portfolio companies. I used to run the largest independent Apple reseller in the world. It was a company called TechServe in New York City. And that is actually how I ended up getting involved in the cannabis industry. All that prior background experience was I was approached to build a point of sale system for the cannabis industry, pretty much what MedMen ultimately ended up launching. And the more I found out about the challenges of the cannabis industry, and I built point of sale systems before, nothing against those folks, but it didn't intrigue me. It didn't hold my interest after I had heard about the banking challenge. And that's when it became very, very interesting that how do you take two highly regulated industries that would love to work together, but they just don't know how? And, you know, so one of the things you do in your podcast, et cetera, is education and, you know, part of what we're talking about here. And so it really came down to what's needed on both sides. How do you capture that data from both sides? How do you integrate that data and scale it and make it easy to use for the respective audiences? But it has to all be highly adaptable because the rules are constantly, constantly changing on both sides. So all those things scream technology. And when you're a nerd and you're a data nerd and a process nerd, it became this gigantic series of whiteboards of just drawing it, defining how should it work? How could it work? What did we get right? What did we get wrong? And that's the whole evolution of Green Check to where we are today.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's fascinating. So when did you, what year was it that you got intrigued and you started the whiteboarding process?
2016. And, you know, that really became, so really for the first 2 years, almost 2 years, you know, from my prior work experience, I learned a long time ago, you build your company first and then you build your product. You know, people rush to code. And then they miss the mark, and then, or they build a product and they're like, okay, who wants it? How do we sell it? It's the wrong approach. Back to those, that decade of working with VCs and private equity people, you build your company, you test market the thesis from it. And you had in this one, you had to do it on both sides. And we didn't have a lot of experience to go against, right? There certainly wasn't a lot of rule sets and knowledge on the banking side. And we're talking, you know, we're talking FDIC, Federal Reserve, you know, CSBS, OCC, you know, the alphabet soup on that side. So we're really blazing a trail there. First cannabis metaphor, I think. Let's try to keep track. Blazing a trail there.
Okay.
And then on the cannabis side, you know, the industry was evolving and all the rule sets on the state by state across all the license types were evolving. So and that was the really, really cool part in all this. The data puzzle kept changing, but at its core, how do you ingest and present and utilize that information across all the respective audience sets?
I think that's the big thing, because there's so many different audience sets, right? Like there's the regulators, there's the business owners, there's the CPAs, right? And then there's the federal regulators. And I'm probably like, who else is in this ecosystem beyond those players? I mean, it's massive.
Well, each one of those has a sub touch point, subs, right? And so it just keeps going. And again, that's the really cool thing about all this, Simone, is it's that endless data puzzle. I mean, at its essence, in order to be able to present data, you have to know how to use data. And if you look at it through the eyedropper, if you will, you're really going to limit the possibilities. And, that is a big part of why, we didn't write any code. What we did is actually just kept abstracting the model as far as we could, because this is about every direct and indirect, okay, and level one, level two, level three. People have different definitions and acronyms, but what we did is we overlaid the supply chain of commerce on top of the supply chain of the plant. So everybody talks about seed to sale and point of sale, okay? What we did is, my background, I built global supply chain solutions. If you pick, the top 50 consumer packaged good brands, good possibility I've worked with 30 of them. And so what we did is we applied that supply chain of commerce. And so every time the product moved, okay, different rules and regulations were going to apply, those became blocking points in the minds of bankers and financial institutions and examiners, right? All right, what does that mean? How do I know? And really, at its essence, as you cross that line from the whole cannabis industry into the financial services system, how do they know they're letting good money in and keep bad money out? And so when you don't understand the supply chain of the plant, you can't apply the supply chain of commerce. And that's the central nervous system of Green Check. That's what we defined, and we filed 3 patents against as well, all before we wrote the first line of code.
So, wow. Well, I mean, you want to build that architecture. I'm curious, what's the common variable along the supply? I mean, because you talked about, every state's different. Absolutely, right? Packaging is going to be different. Transportation is going to be different. Were there certain themes or areas that would remain constant that you would be able to say, okay, like if I am looking at Oregon and I'm looking at California, this is the big thing that I need to worry about when it comes to banking, when it comes to diversion, right? Really, right? That seems like that's the big point that a lot of the bankers were afraid of, is like the Cole memo, which now has been rescinded. So I'm also curious, I want to unpack that.
Well, I'm trying to go back to grade school. You're never supposed to use the answer, the word of the question in the answer, but I'm going to in this instance, so indulge me.
Yeah.
You talked about the variability. That's it. It's the variability. How do you account for the variability? Because, what happens in California at a county or state level is different. And then you start applying the different license types. And then you move to the next state. And then you move to the next state. And so, at its core, again, being able to ingest that information. So, as an example, there's 80 point of sale providers in the market today, give or take. Cannabis Media does an exceptional job of outlining that. And so there's those 80 plus point of sale providers out there, but say the top 10 have 80% of the market. It's just the way that's all working now. You have to be able to take that information in from all of those solutions, but then you also have to look at where that data goes and say to like a Metric, et cetera. You also have to look at their QuickBooks or their Sage Interact, their accounting system, because you hit on one of the key points, especially as good money in, bad money out. How do you know that the product that they're selling out the front door came through the back door legally? So, a financial institution doesn't want to see that you sold, I'm going to make the math simple for me. They don't want to see that you sold 100 pounds of flour good and you only bought 10 pounds in the past 6 months. Where'd that other 90 pounds come from? I mean, those are huge red flags. And so, you have to be able to triangulate all those data sources. So our compliance rules engine, which is what we have filed our patents against, is really a gigantic API, an ingestion system.
Yeah.
And this is what allows FIs to define their program. So, you know, when I talk about the supply chain of the supply chain of commerce of this, right? What a financial institution wants is, when you talk about supply chain, you have supply demand. Okay. The demand for cannabis banking has been present forever. And it's still one of the, if you ask anybody, it's going to be in their top five business problems they want to solve challenge. The problem has always been, where's the supply of willing banking partners? And so we realized we had to generate and create that supply to service the demand. And the only way we're going to do that is to get the financial institutions, be it a national bank, publicly traded, all the way down to a local credit union and everybody in between, to feel comfortable that they can do this. And that's where we focused all our efforts in the very beginning. That's also why we never charge and never will charge the cannabis businesses for access to be on this platform. Their life's hard enough.
Yeah.
So
not only their life is so hard. Yeah.
Oh, it's brutal. You know, God bless those people for opening those businesses.
Yeah. Oh, okay. This is so fascinating. I want to step a little bit back because I come from a finance background, but I know a lot of people don't. Could you paint just how the banking ecosystem in general works, and then add on why it makes it so much more tricky for a cannabis business?
Sure. Well, we'll start right with the 800-pound gorilla a lot of times. You know, if you talk to a financial institution and you say cannabis, sometimes you don't even get to the second word. You don't get the banking. You know, they're, never mind. Just stop. But let's go with the mindset that a lot of people have evolved forward to, which is really positive, that cannabis banking is possible. Okay. So first part for them is, okay, how do I know who I can bank and who is the entity, right? Because it's still federally illegal, even if they have a state license. But what does that mean to a financial institution? So they have to apply enhanced due diligence to those accounts. And in the COVID world and or outside the COVID world, you know, on the cannabis side of the business, you have to capture a lot of information for high risk account opening. And so how do you make that easy for both sides to be able to say, this is all the information I need to open your account? But you got to roll it back one step further. How does a financial institution even know who that account should be? So there's the whole account identification, account enablement, and account onboarding. And that has to be a seamless user experience. So think about any banking app that you have, financial services app that you have. You didn't have anybody holding your hand to download it. You download it, you figured out what you need to do, and you went up and running. So we applied the same principle there, but in a much more complex structure in terms of the information and the entire workflow. And so working with the financial institutions and as many CRBs as they want, regardless of point of sale, regardless of type of license, it could be a dispensary, it could be a grower, could be an indirect, how do they manage their program? And so that's the starting point for the platform, identifying these accounts and opening. So once you've done that, then the real magic happens, right? Because again, how do you monitor the activity, the sales, the purchasing, the outbound? And so this is where that the data engine comes into play. We verify every transaction through the compliance rules engine for the rules and regulations for that purchase at that exact point in time under the rules and regulations that are active at that point in time. Now,
because
the banks aren't going to be able to keep track of that. Okay. It's unfair to even consider that they would even try to do that.
Exactly. And if you can have, if you have data that, or if you have a program that can do that, that's great. So, but you know, the timeline from I'm going to apply for a cannabis license, I'm going to have my pitch ready, I've maybe secured an idea of property, and I'm putting in some funds, but I might need to go raise capital to actually, I have that license. That's a long time for a lot of operators. And what, what happens when somebody might need, and now I guess we could get complicated and talk about legal entity structuring and all that. So let's try not to, but what would happen if somebody is looking for more than $1 million in startup capital, which is not that much for a cannabis business, but they don't have yet a license to operate? How does that work in your platform?
So there are financial institutions that will look at, and, you know, especially in emerging state markets. Where the sales haven't started, right? But there's financial institutions that are saying, we want to be prepared. Okay. So we work with FIs in emerging states, established states, expanding states. Again, it's part of that. It doesn't matter the source of the data. It matters what you do with the data. And if it doesn't matter for the source, it doesn't matter the life cycle. And we always applied that because we knew this was going to keep rolling. And so in your example, new programs, new licenses, new states, that's an opportunity for FIs to actually onboard these accounts early, take investment dollars in early, because we, part of it is looking at beneficial ownership. Do you have a lease? Where's your license? Some states are issuing provisional licenses. They'll bank you on a provisional and they put you on a calendar, but how do they know to go back and verify that your license came in? It's that entire workflow that we built, supply chain thinking, right? Touch points of everything has to come to the answer. So, we have financial institutions to do that. And one of the really cool things that we have is we have FIs on the platform now that are looking at especially socioeconomic, impacted license holders, how do they help facilitate them in the application process, even lending money in advance to help them speed that? So I wish I
could. That's huge.
I wish I could share the name of some of those people, but it's out there. They're doing it. And the only reason why I can't is they don't want the deluge that you would imagine that will happen with it. And they're doing it for their reasons, not doing it for the commercial reasons. That, one of the really, really cool things about this industry, and you meet this through the leadership of these FIs, there are a lot of people that genuinely want to help, but they still are concerned about the reputational risk of long-time established account holders, et cetera, and or, image problems or anything else. But they're not hiding behind the curtains. You don't have to go to a special room in the bank to have these conversations. But they're also not taking billboards out about it either. Not yet.
Yeah, right. I think that, not yet, because you got in at 2016, I got in around 2015, and there was still this, where can you find a bank? Where can you find a provider that would even help you? And it seems like, now just even hearing how many people, FIs that you've onboarded, it's not, obviously there's no billboards, but it's much more, the resources are available. Going back to the supply and demand, like the supply, I guess the question is, we're almost in 2022 since 2016, that supply, what percentage has it increased since 2016 for you?
Well, for us, it's been dramatic. So we will end the year. Okay. What do we got? 13 more days here, I guess, or so. Yeah. We'll end the year at 85 different unique financial institutions that have onboarded into Green Check. We are operating in 34 states with those financial institutions, and we have well over 1,500 unique cannabis businesses on the platform with established, evolving, growing deposit account relationships to the tune that we'll do over $2 billion in transactions processed through Green Check into the U.S. financial system through that partner network in 2022. So we've
in 2021
health mode for a long time. It's only in the past 6 months or year that we've really expanded that out. And we do have financial partners that raise their hand and are very public about it. So I'll just very quickly, Valley Bank, based in New Jersey, one of the, I think they're number 30 or so, largest bank in the United States, is very, very public about their cannabis banking program in their earnings calls and everything else. And they work with a lot of the top MSOs. consolidating their operations across all the states that they had, all the different banking relationships to one bank account. Think about the value of that, those cannabis businesses. And then on the other side of the spectrum, not because they're smaller, but we have Franken Youth Credit Union in Michigan, super public about their program. They even branded it. It's called Envy. Oh. And they have an entire program that they are very, very public about and really, really focusing on working in their community to give these cannabis businesses access to full spectrum of financial services.
That's huge. When we talk, okay, and then let's kind of unpack the full spectrum, because that was our second cannabis pun, I think. I was counting. I'm like, it's the second one. But are these businesses typically getting a checking, a multiple accounts for their operations, or does it take some time for the financial institution to feel okay and comfortable with an operator and allowing them kind of baby steps into banking? Like, how's it typically working now in 2021?
The baby steps is certainly where it started. I mean, okay. I feel like you've been on this journey with us all along, and I know you have, but we just haven't talked before, right? But the baby steps of depository account control is the opening step, and there needs to be that comfort within the financial institutions. They're just not going to dive into the deep end of the pool.
Yeah.
But what has happened with existing accounts, and this is super cool, what has happened with existing accounts is quite a few of them are now lending directly to the cannabis industry.
Wow.
And part of the reason why is they've already established depository control, but because of the connection of the data, back to the beginning of the story, right? Because of that connection of the data, they see the vector of that business day in and day out. They see the health of the business, our compliance rules engine, our compliance score. They see how well they're doing. And so they're established relationships, and they can see their growth. And they're like, you need capital for growth. You need capital for equipment. They have better visibility of a cannabis account for the health of the business and the trajectory than any other commercial account that they have. Because they're not ingesting that information on a day in and day out basis. And what this is leading to, because you have all these non-bank lenders into the cannabis space, banks are seeing that, they're aware of it. And now we have people new to the platform and people in our sales funnel that are entering the cannabis space to start with lending. They want to start with lending.
Going to our original thing, because they need to. A lot of times they don't have full capital resources to build a business in this space.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. And then what about, and so the baby steps, and then when they're kind of full on board, are they processing payroll, payables, deposits? So we're talking check.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yep. Because where do financial institutions want to go? They need to offer more products and services.
Yeah.
They're still under their financial pressure. And because they have this visibility, this creates a tremendous opportunity. And this has been built into the platform and is constantly evolving, a marketplace, because you already have this connection layer, and it allows the CRBs, the cannabis businesses, to say, I want an insurance quote. Do you, my financial services provider, offer that? Yes. Good. Here's your information. Make it happen. You don't? Okay. Here's a list of third parties that have been vetted by GreenCheck, curated and vetted by GreenCheck, to say, talk to these folks. And now you don't have to start the whole process of filling out an application again and go through all that process. Again, running these businesses is so time consuming. It's all on platform. Click, connect, transact.
Yeah. Oh, I like, is that one of your slogans? Because that's a good one.
I just said that for the first time here.
That's good. I like it though. It's catchy. Well, I think that, let's talk about that, because there's so much compliance just to operate a business in this space. And even from the application process, and if you have multiple owners, just the owner stuff that a business even has to go through. And I'm imagining, like, when you're applying for insurance in the cannabis space, it's actually more rigorous sometimes than applying for the cannabis license. If a business is wanting to get onboarded to work on your platform and to be able to kind of bank legally, what type of dossier are they required to submit? high level, right? How much time is that going to take? Just because we've got a lot of newbies on the podcast that I really want to show, like, it takes some time and effort to really get to cross this milestone of getting a bank account.
Right. Well, it is part of our next phase of where we are. And, you know, more than half the team that we have here are focused on the product and the product development and the enhancement of it. Mm-hmm. And we continue to hire more and more every month to do that. We're hiring. So check us out. But, you know, part of that is how do you streamline that process? So we started with a very effective process, but, you know, this is tied to the marketplace. What are the components that are needed to facilitate that initial transaction? So think of it like a lending tree or a rocket mortgage, if you will, right? So you're a business. You just happen to be a cannabis business. You're a business. Here's some of the information we need to know. And then we can partner you with those first people that will raise their hand that are interested. You might need to provide more information. But there's two paths there, okay? We have existing banking folks that are on the platform that have a banking relationship. We already have that information, so you don't have to enter it again. But what we're going to do in 2022 is we talked about the supply and demand earlier. I said we solved that supply problem, and that supply problem continues to grow. We've never marketed directly to the cannabis businesses. We do that through our FI partners. In 2022, we're not going to reverse the trend, but we're going to open this up. Okay. So now what we're going to do is we're going to go to the CRBs, to the markets, and say, if you're interested in any of these services, including banking, and enter this minimal information here, click what you want, and the system will you know, analyze that data and put you in the right place and the right partner to scale that. And so now, for the first time in the history of the cannabis industry, and certainly the first time in the history of connecting these, you'll actually have a facilitated marketplace. So we've been actively building that, and that is going to be rolled out in pieces.
Yeah, of course.
In 2022.
And so beyond insurance and banking, can you give us some insight of what other things are going to be rolled out?
Payroll. Okay. But payroll doesn't just end there. It's payroll. It's benefits.
Benefits. So important.
Insure, you know, health benefits. How about this one? This is also going to be part of it. ERISA programs. 401k. So a lot of states actually require it, and it should be available. If you're a cannabis business, you shouldn't have to labor under a different set of rules because, you know, you're federally illegal, right?
Exactly.
You know, if you're a state business, you're compliant, you exhibit compliance, the doors should be open. Yeah. But the only way that's going to happen is through information sharing and the availability of that information on an ongoing basis. And so, you know, but then assets under management. A lot of these businesses have done quite well. Okay. Try to open a Robinhood account or try to open an account with your bank on your investment side. That side of the house is still pretty much closed off. However, there are firms that will take that money and put it to work for you. Now, are you going to be able to freely invest it the way you want? Man, probably not, but you're going to do a lot better than zero. Okay.
Exactly.
And so how do you segment that money? We touched on loans, payment services. You know, that is coming. Payments, electronic payments are available in different forms and fashions. People get duped. They enter into wrong agreements, unfortunately, because it sounds too good to be true, and it usually is. But then the financial institutions are looking at how do they integrate proper payment solutions into your operation to lessen that burden of cash, lessen that cost of cash on both sides, and offer compliant, that's the key, electronic payment services for your business. And that doesn't just mean at dispensary, that's also ACH services and everything else.
Okay. Well, that's huge. I mean, it's just, especially with COVID and working remotely, and if a business is trying to build something just outside of maybe their neighborhood and they operate with vendors even outside of state, which is very fascinating, because then that comes to probably, well, first, they couldn't operate with a cannabis touching vendor out of state because that's interstate commerce. That's illegal because it's federally illegal. But even I'm imagining that if you bought a farming equipment, that that could even get flagged in your platform because of the different locations. If you're in Oregon, you're buying something in Michigan and they don't know exactly what it is. I'm so fascinated. Like, wow. If I was a cannabis business, I would be wanting to really, as an accountant, I want to see the back end of it, right? Like it's just because to track a sale from like through the supply chain in itself is an arduous process. Yes, it's technology. So a human's not having to do it, but then transposing that with banking and making sure it's compliant, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And you know, yeah. So two data points on that. One is there's a national MSO, I wish I could share their name, that they were approached by a financial institution in a state, and they said, you know what, we want to take over your banking. And they have experience with us because they haven't consolidated their operations like some of the other MSOs that I mentioned have. They're contemplating how to do that. Yeah. And they said, we will work with you, but we require that you use Green Check. We're getting referrals from the cannabis business to a very large financial institution saying, because we know what they do and it makes it so, so easy for us, we'll do it. You got to use Green Check. Otherwise, we're out. Because we're not gonna go backwards. We're not gonna do it the old fashioned way. We don't need to anymore.
No. And you've got a product that kind of speaks for itself, which is every entrepreneur's dream. Mm-hmm. So two things, CBD, you know, with the Farm Bill passing 2018, it's federally legal, but CBD companies, what's up with them in banking? I mean, they seem to have, from my opinion and working with some CBD companies, difficulty in banking. What's been with your experience from the platform and just talking to CBD businesses, what's going on?
So CBD businesses are treated, unfortunately, and painted in the same broad brush as, marijuana, just, THC-based businesses. The Farm Bill passed, but they did not do anybody any great shakes other than to say, go ahead and do it, because then you still had the states weighing in as to what could happen. So you had the reverse process, right? States have federal marijuana programs, and all of a sudden now they have a legal CBD program. So nobody did anybody great shakes coming out of Washington with that one. And then for the CBD businesses themselves, we focused on solving the more complex problem, because then the rest becomes a little bit easier. And so because of the rules and regulations at the state level for marijuana, you can then apply that through the compliance rules engine for the indirect businesses to the level it needs to be. And so we focused on solving the complex problem first. In Q1, and we've already started this, in Q1, our full indirect platform will be ready. And so a financial institution can manage an entire cannabis banking program, marijuana, CBD, combination thereof, medical and adult, retail, distribution, however. So we created the whole parent-child relationship, the funnel of the activity, what needs to be monitored for each of those. And that has always been a challenge for the financial institution. Well, how am I going to manage all this? Because they don't want to start this for one. They don't want to do it for two. They want to scale this as a line of business because of community support and the opportunity it presents. And again, that same workflow that we're talking about, Simone, about the account, the monitoring, and then on the back end, the reporting to all the regulators, of which there are many, how do you present all that information? So we are building that up. And so the point of that is, if you don't start from a technology company, begin with the end in mind. If you don't start and have at the atomic level, the detail, you can't engineer your way up to a solution. Okay.
Oh, I agree with
you. If you started up here, you can't engineer your way down to the details that you require. So you get stuck in these very, very niche, solution-based components, which the landscape is littered with.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can almost apply that to entrepreneurship at one point. Like, I mean, even if you're trying to launch something and if you don't think things through and you really focus on the, I mean, this is my opinion. I'd love to get your opinion, but if you don't really focus on the logistics of it, the process behind it, then in the end, you're not building a strong structure. So by the time that you actually are ready, you're going to have a lot of work to do. I think, to me, it's the biggest, it's my biggest frustration sometimes with working with entrepreneurs. I'm like, but the logo is so sexy. The brand is so sexy, but there's so much behind the scenes that needs to really be thought out. I mean, you've worked in many industries. What's your opinion on that? Just from an entrepreneurial standpoint.
Begin with the end in mind. What is it that you hope to accomplish? And, you know, it goes back to design. You know, I'm a firm believer in this. Design your company first, then your product. Your product should reflect the end goals that you have. What are you trying to do? And then you reverse engineer that. And, you know, that's one of the key things that we focused on from the beginning, right? So in the beginning, and you've seen this, and I believe you have had experience based upon what you intimated earlier, people design solutions to work around the banking system. Yeah. We were like, nope. We're starting within the compliance, chief compliance officer's chair, and we're building outwards. What does that person need to know, see, do, and feel all the time? So that they go get me more business. We can handle more. We got a great thing going here. How do we do that? And how do we scale? So you had to apply that end game thinking, begin with the end in mind. You have to be willing to define your company, your purpose, what you're going to do. Then you define how you're going to go do it. Because technology is the easiest part in all this, candidly. Okay. You know, I always say, you know, Elon Musk, right? Recognized as this visionary technologist. Okay, there's a Tesla on its way to Mars with a fake astronaut in it, right? How cool is that? All right. Technology can do anything, but it doesn't really serve any discernible purpose other than some exceptional PR and a proof point that that level of technology can work. So technology enablement is always there, but how do you properly apply it? And how do you, you know, start at that granular level and then build up to make it more effective? Because that's what people need. They don't need, financial institutions don't need piecemeal solutions, document management, regulatory reporting, internal compliance rules engine. They want a single solution that they can use and just give a sign on to their examiner. And that's what we do.
Yeah.
Cannabis businesses, back to those folks, again, the amount of time it takes to start one and then run one. You know, you talk about in your podcast, quality of life. These poor people at the end of the day, they're exhausted. So you know what happens?
Yeah.
They never get a bank account because they're like, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. Well, tomorrow never comes. And so you got to remove all that friction, create all that connection, create all that opportunity. And the people that want to get involved can, and then let it flourish from there.
Yeah. I love that. And I want to just piggyback off of, you know, everyone's like, oh, I'm going to do it tomorrow. And I see that so often with business owners because they're burnt out. Cannabis is a very hard industry to be in. Being an entrepreneur in general is. And so just for you, you've operated, you're very, you know, positive, you know, you've got a lot of energy. Like what has been in it for you when the times are tough, when you feel like, you know, I'll do it tomorrow, but you've made a lot of success in what you've done in other businesses in this one. So what do you tell yourself? What do you do so you don't fall into that trap of I'll do it tomorrow?
Well, I'm an eternally optimistic person. I have, you know, massive attention deficit and OCD tendencies, which actually I've learned to harness, you know, as I've gotten older. You know, my mind is constantly thinking, much to the chagrin of my wife and family. This is exactly how I wake up. I'm like this the minute I get up. And so today, by example, 3:05, I was out of bed and this is who I am. So and I just love thinking about that. But the coolest part about all this, having done this before, is I've made mistakes. You got a long podcast you want to hear about mistakes made? Count me in. I'll fill it up for you.
Okay.
But what I'd like to think is that, you know, I've learned from most of those, and we try not to make those same ones. And I also fully realize, two hands raised, that I am not the smartest guy in the room. Okay. And so we have an exceptional team here. And if you want to have a good output, you better have a series of great inputs. And so we collaborate, we listen, we talk to each other. We listen to the market. We understand. Today is actually our quarterly user group. So we have a vast number of people on a Zoom call that are our customers and say, okay, this, what do we need? What do you guys want to see happen in the product next? You know, take that input. Mm-hmm. I've been fortunate. I love to work. I've worked since I was 8 years old. My parents made me get a paper route when I was 8 years old, because I woke up like this as a pain in the ass kid when I was young. And my parents were like, get them out there, let them go do something. And I love what I do, because we're constantly learning, and we're having this opportunity to have such an impact. And over the years, I've done this for a lot of people, and we're doing this for the industry. We're doing this for ourselves. Everybody here at Green Check has a piece of the company. This isn't about, you know, what's in it for me. I'm having so much fun with all these people. And so, and just constantly learning and everything that goes with it.
Yeah. I mean, I think when we measure success, it's all up to how we decide to measure it, but it's the lifelong journey of learning. And when you can just take in every day with that approach, I feel like everybody wins. Sometimes it's hard, right? Sometimes it's frustrating, but yeah. And having a growth mindset versus some kind of limiting mindset also allows you to see opportunity when a lot of people don't. Mm-hmm. And in this space, I'm sure you feel this way. It's like, there's so many problems to be solved, which I think anybody who likes to solve problems is like, oh my gosh, you can be up at night. And then the complexity of the cannabis space and the supply chain and all the different moving pieces. And that, I'm sure you've seen so much more innovation. And then I just think about like banking now. I'm banking more in Europe because I live here, and using some of the more kind of the online banks versus some of the traditional banks that I used in the US. My God, the interface is so much better. It's better for cash management. It's better for, I mean, it's just in general, hands down, like I was like, wow, I got like a facelift in Europe compared to my banking in the US. And so I imagine with your background, you're also able to change how some of these financial institutions, maybe they don't have a good UI, a UX interface. They're not really talking with their customers. So maybe you can even bring, I feel like cannabis pushes a lot to the status quo. Is that what you're seeing? Like when you're dealing with these financial institutions, like, oh, well, now you've actually worked on your interface. Like, cause you mentioned just them being able to have more optics on a business, just working with you guys.
It has a huge impact. So, I mean, as we've evolved the company, you know, one of the fun parts of what we learned about was, you know, when we used to talk about account onboarding, that connection and that transaction enablement, is now we've introduced this past year account monitoring as a feature. And that's peer-to-peer analysis of businesses. That's a financial institution's ability to understand, why am I actually banking cannabis? It's not about fee revenue. Those price pressures are there, and that's going to continue. Mm-hmm. It's about establishing that relationship. And then what can you do with all that information in that relationship? And so the cannabis businesses too, you know, they play such a huge part in this. And I really want to make sure that we do touch on this. I mean, we talked about, you know, the work that they have to do, but these businesses are fiercely loyal if you do the right thing by them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is an opportunity, and this is one of the mindsets that we think we have a big impact on facilitating. Financial institutions are seeing these as legitimate businesses, growing businesses. They're going to be there for the long haul, and these can become great commercial and personal relationships for those financial institutions. And that's what's really cool to see, because then you see that that evolve. And, you know, bankers talk. They talk to each other. There's all these associations, and we go to a lot of these events, and they talk to each other. Same thing on the cannabis side. So, you know, it's about putting warm arms around these industries, as opposed to the old days where, you know, the bankers holding the doors closed during normal operating hours say, go away, we're closed, you know, because somebody showed up with cannabis money.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And then I didn't ask you, how is it with actual payment processing? You know, is that an available, like, because you mentioned POS. So I had the assumption like, okay, well, it's banking and payment processing. Is that accurate?
There are some solid players in the payment processing space that are legitimate and compliant, and that will work well. They're not skirting the systems. They're not creating false MCC codes like some other companies have done that have been in the news and have created problems or have disappeared with people's money. There are some solid companies out there. There's a lot that are somewhat fly by night, and they're just, you know, here's your machine today. Here's your account. Whoop, we got shut down here. You're going to go to this other bank. This is closed for a while. We'll be back, you know, back 5 minutes sign. And then, you know, they start again. And this is where, you know, the cannabis businesses need that opportunity to understand and have curated and vetted providers. Okay. Yeah. Now, these are all commercial businesses, and they, you know, everybody, you know, is doing this for the right reasons, but they're all doing it for commercial reasons as well. And, but the days of usurious fees and, you know, over the top contracts and lock-ins and you know, crazy penalties and terminations, hopefully we're seeing those go away, and hopefully they'll stay away for those people too. But, you know, at a point in time when Safe Banking Act becomes actual, not because they voted on it, it's because they're going to take years. It's going to take years for this to actually roll out. Because, you know, all the rules and regulations and the interagency dependencies are going to be there. But the minute that happens, what's going to happen is MasterCard, Visa, everybody else is going to rush in and go, that's it.
I'm ready.
Everybody else is gone. But it's got to work in the banking system.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's an integral part. It's like, how do you get that into the bank? Yep. Ah, but it's a lot to unpack. And then what about, you know, I've had my banking shut down. Like, I think my Social Security and EIN has been flagged for selling a book about cannabis taxes in 2015. And it's just, I think that's one lesson it's been very hard, actually. You know, actually being able to bake in Europe has been quite nice. It's like, I just feel like I've committed a huge crime. Like, is there, and I don't think I'm alone. I think a lot of service providers have this, you know, is there this, like, how does somebody in my shoes that literally is technically aiding and abetting, right? But like, how do service providers, are they just required really to bank with, you know, somebody like using a platform like you, or is there a way to like ask for, like, what if somebody got out of the cannabis industry and they're not working in it anymore? Like, how does that happen?
Well, you know, how it happens in the background.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not certain. And there's conspiracy theories, and there's, you know, shared lists, and there's flagging, et cetera. But what I will say is that, you know, there are banks, there are financial institutions, banks, credit unions that will bank cannabis businesses. We know that. We've seen it. More are being added to it. But the key is, don't lie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't lie, because you're going to get caught. And I'm not saying that you have lied. Okay. I'm not inferring that one whatsoever. But when they see that suspicious activity that occurs, that raises red flags. And you don't get a chance to justify it. It's not that you're guilty until proven innocent. It's kind of like system flagged it. The system knows, okay? And therefore, your account gets closed. And this is one of the big challenges for financial institutions. And it's candidly, it's one of the great problems that we saw. So all financial systems use a core system. They're called core platforms, core systems, okay? Cores are integral for bank operations because they monitor account activity, back to the alphabet soup things that we talked about at the beginning of the call. Cores, there's dozens of those, okay? And they all do a good job. what they do a good job of is at detective work. Okay. Mm. But the detective work is flawed because there's no preventative work initially. And so your money by the detective work, okay, not a person, a system is like, whoops, cannabis account. Now, if they knew you were a cannabis business and there was the preventative work of letting good money in, your money, mm-hmm. good money in and keeping bad money out, then the detectives don't have anything to look at, or they look at it differently. And yeah. that's one of the big challenges. So even today or this week, two people, one was at, one of the top three banks, has mm-hmm. been a platinum customer since 1993, invested in a cannabis business in Canada, just a private investment, got his 30-day notice.
Wow.
He doesn't open his mail. So by the time he opened his mail, he had 13 days. People that he knew funneled him to me. And he goes, I've been at this bank since 1993 as a platinum member. I'm out. Can you help me out? And so we have him now set up for interviews with three different banks and say, here you go. Here's names. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Open
your account. He wow. goes,
can he pay you? I'm like, no. It's good luck.
Yeah. Wow. So I was going to say, can you share before we wrap up this call, like what's one war story from the chest, like one kind of, or success story, but something that a little bit of like what you do on a day, like not on a day-to-day basis, but something that you can share.
I'm going to go with the success stories. It befits my personality better. Again, I'm an eternal optimist. The glass is not only half empty, it can always be refilled.
Yes.
The impact that we've had and the fact that we hear from so many cannabis businesses privately and publicly, we have a lot of quotes, et cetera, but they say thank you. The fact that they are so happy and glad that they're able to run their businesses more effectively. With as many customers as we've onboarded and go through that process, we hear that a lot. Yeah. And the other part too is what we have heard consistently from our clients, be it the FI or the cannabis businesses, is that this is how things should be done. Mm-hmm. And when we hear that, it doesn't matter what their role is. When we hear that from a CEO, like this has been the best technical evaluation decision I've ever made across the board, down to a compliance person that says, I used to spend hours every week and the pile of work just got bigger and bigger. I can go home at the end of the day and put my head down and not worry about what my desk is going to look like tomorrow. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
So all the rest just becomes, I just call it, that's what's automagical about when you do things the right way.
Yeah.
The rest happens. It's, the focus and the fact that we've been able to have such an impact and continue to add more and more people outside and inside to the company is very, very cool.
Oh, that's excellent. One last question. What's one piece of advice you would give somebody just getting into the industry?
Do your homework. Do your homework. If you think it's easy, go look a little hard. Go look a little longer. A little bit deeper, because it's back to one of the things we talked about earlier, the variability. Okay. And this will come at you from out of left field. Take a very, very big picture. Take a long-term view of what you want to do. Understand what you're trying to accomplish and do your homework. And I don't care if that's you want a license, understand what that looks like. Okay. Yeah. Talk to people who understand it and can walk you through that entire process. If you want to grow your business or sell your business, understand what that looks like. I mean, especially for the cannabis side too. And this is, again, part of the positive impact. A lot of these folks, they're first time entrepreneurs. And, I know that's a big thrust of what you do. It's not as easy as it looks. People hear the success stories. They never look back at, the pain points associated with it. And, the mistakes that could have been avoided and to drive to a higher quality of life as you continue to grow your business.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's so, so true. Okay. And then how can people find you?
So we are Green Check verified. If you Google us, we should be the first and only one that you find. We have that trademark, but greencheckverified.com. We're on LinkedIn under greencheckverified.com. And I'm Kevin Hart. And I'm not the other Kevin Hart. I'm this Kevin Hart. So look up Kevin Hart and Green Check Verified, especially on LinkedIn, and you will find me. I'm pretty accessible.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Kevin, for joining. I loved our call.
Oh, thank you. This has been a blast.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's show. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you enjoyed this, leave us a 5-star review. Make sure that you share this episode on your social media and tag us in the Instagram stories. You can find us wherever you go on social media. Just look up Cannabis Business Minds. Have an idea for the show or something that you want to talk about? Shoot us an email at podcast@cannabisbusinessminds.com.